Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, folks, welcome back to the latest Mountain West Wire football podcast. MWR.com, you know, website we talk about Mountain West sports, football, right, Matt? Is that kind of what we do typically? Football, basketball, bowl season, which is upon us?
That's right. And that's because we just got through with Championship Saturday, which we'll be talking about at length.
At length, yeah. So we're going to jump into it. We got bowl stuff too we're talking about. We'll get to that at the end. Bowl assignments, bowl news, plus some already interesting bowl breaking news regarding one opponent. We'll get to the end of the podcast. So there's your tease to either wait, or you can fast forward and hope you guess and get it right at the timestamp.
That's right.
Also, we're on Twitter, MWC Wire, everywhere online, MWR.com, Facebook, all that great stuff, sort of on Instagram when we decide to be, which is not too often. But yeah, the final game is in the books. Fresno State 28. Boise State 16. Congratulations, Matt. Your Bulldogs won another conference title.
Thank you. Thank you.
Where should we begin with this? Because when I wrote the recap, which I haven't done in a while, I'm like, God, I got to get back to doing game stuff. I'm like, I got this. Special teams, defense, and I will say one impressive offensive drive was kind of the story of the game. Does that sound about right to you?
Yeah, I mean, I probably would have chosen just enough offense, but I think your phrasing probably works a little bit better.
The one drive I'm referring to is where Jordan Mims just took over the game at the end. But
yeah.
What was your – so I didn't get to watch it live, so I didn't get to see interaction on Twitter because I was out doing stuff, so I got to watch it about halftime and kind of zoom through it. Well, just whatever, commercials and fast-forwarding through it. So what was your – I saw some of your thoughts. The first quarter – 0 points, because here's what I felt for the game, and I'll let you obviously get on this as well. And I think you might have the same sentiment as me, where Boise State's defense was really good. Fresno would eventually break through, but I didn't really expect it to be a 0-0 first quarter, which include a missed field goal and a turnover on downs, where Boise State did the right thing going for it on 4th-5 at the 32-yard line in the first quarter.
I mean, I was kind of. I was going to say, I really do think it is a credit to both defenses and how well they played early on, because you know, neither side was really able to get much going. Like on Boise State's side of things, they were getting a lot of pressure on Jay Kaner early. And even though he didn't get sacked in that first quarter, it felt like he was under pressure early and often in that game, which is why, you know, he was able to, you know, get into something of a nice rhythm. I think he had, you know, back-to-back pass plays in that first quarter to Nico Remigio. You know, there was, he beat Rodney Robinson twice. I remember that. It was on that drive that ended in the missed field goal. 20 yards and 32 yards on back-to-back plays. But then when you look up and you realize that they gained 77 yards that entire first quarter and then 35 yards in the second quarter after that, you start to understand that, like, in context, you know, those really big explosive plays that sort of defined the second half of the year where Kaner was back under center were really few and far between in that first half. But
yeah, two drives netted in negative yards and one under 10 yards for Fresno State.
But I think the more surprising thing was that Talen Green, after a really hot start to the game where he was, you know, what, 8 of his first 11, I believe. You know, he had a couple of nice throws for first downs. 8 of 11, 9 for his first 13, basically through the first quarter and change. After that, I think the most surprising thing about the game was that he sort of fell off track relative to what we had seen from him down the stretch.
He was 9 of 27 after that start, because if my math is correct here, that makes sense. Subtracting, adding those two. He had one explosive play that was the late amazing Davis Cutter touchdown reception where he bounced off a guy and got that 57 yards too little too late. You like every play counts, but you take away that play, he had very few yards overall. And he, like, I don't like the gloat in the this of kids not playing well, but I kind of was right. Like, him throwing this many times, they weren't going to win. And what's more surprising is, why did Dirk Cutter stop running the ball when it worked pretty well in the first half? They went away from giving it to George Chalani because they could tell, and Genty as well, he only had 7 carries. Like, Chalani wasn't amazing, like total yardage, 74 yards, solid 5.7 yard per carry, but nothing big. That 12 yarder was his biggest run. They went away from that because Fresno, because if I'm correct, David Prowse, did he play at all in this game? I don't think he did, right?
He played a little bit. He came up with a nice play on a third down to force a punt, I believe it was.
Very little, but, though. He wasn't there.
But he was pretty limited in that game. And as a unit, Fresno State only had 2 tackles for loss in the contest.
They had 7 pass knockdowns.
2 interceptions.
Also many overthrows too. Many overthrows from Green. Like, he was thrown out of bounds how many times? Like, what's up with that?
And I think that was sort of the microcosm in the game, was that I think it was their first scoring drive where they had to settle for 3 points, but they were, I believe, within the red zone, and Green misfired on 2 passes to the end zone on back-to-back plays. And I'm trying to remember exactly which, you know, who he was thrown to. I think one of them was to Latrell Capel.
Yeah, I got it right here.
To Billy Bowens. And
it was Billy Bowens, and Eric McAllister was the second one.
Yes. And, you know, it was those kind of missed opportunities that ended up really defining the game, I think, more than anything.
They don't run the ball first to go at the 9. They run it 0 times when you have the best running back on the field.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, I know that Helani got banged up in the season finale last week against Utah State. So maybe they were being at least a little bit mindful of that. But yeah, I think especially as the game wore on, and, you know, especially in those sort of critical first minutes of the third quarter where, you know, at halftime, it was 14-6. Boise State gets a field goal about 14-9.
And when I tell you, you cannot kick field goals and to win this game, field goals are not allowed, and that's what Boise State did.
But it was a 5-point game going into the fourth quarter, but
it never felt like it, though, right? It didn't seem like Boise was. It's a close score, but it didn't feel like they were going to win this game. At least from my watching,
and that's why, to your point, Helani only had 3 carries after halftime. And I think, you know, if you're being mindful of his workload, given that he's banged up recently, that I think is understandable.
Genty's pretty good.
What sort of compounds that a little bit is that Genty only had 2 carries after halftime.
You expect a freshman who's never been in this spot, didn't start the first of the season, came in four games in, was and a well above average quarterback, but never he has never been put in this situation to, like, of all the games, like my miscue last during the pre, like, oh yeah, I kind of look at the passing per game. There's a couple games hit zero. I'm like, oh, if he throws this many times, he won't play well. He has never has he had a game this year where Dirk Carter, like, hey, go win me the game. No.
I think the closest was probably the BYU game.
Yeah. And he answered
the bell on that. He did. And I think given what he did down the stretch, I think it would be fair to say that, you know, they had a lot of confidence in him to make those throws, to find those explosive plays. You know, let's not forget, like, coming into the game, he was averaging 9.5 yards per throw.
Oh, yeah.
In five of the last six games, the only exception being the Wyoming game.
Utah State, he played well. Like, he made plays, but Utah State, the score, Utah State is sort of similar because the Boise scored those two quick touchdowns to make it look like a blowout when there's really one minute left and Aggies had a chance to win the game, but there was the interception, I believe it was. Mm-hmm. But in that game, he played well. He had, I'm trying to look exactly what he had here, but he, like, Helani had a touchdown. I'm trying to see if he had passing touchdowns here. Yeah, he had that 50-yarder to Latrell Capels. That was a touchdown. So he, on a big 3rd-and-12, looking back at the box score, it's kind of going fast. And then he also had a 25-yarder to McAllister. So he's known to make plays and do well in games. But I'm not saying it's too big for him, but it's also he didn't have any help. So this is also the first time where he struggled mightily in this game. He was under 50% for the day. This is by far his worst game. And it's a young guy struggling. It's like, coach, where's my guys to help me out? Give me the running backs. Give me an easy pass play. Stephen Cobb's had zero catches. Like, he didn't. Did he even play? My mistake. Yeah. So my bad at that. But, like, looking real, I was doing a quick scan. But you don't have him. That's even more reason to run the ball. When Boise, you mentioned the preview, Matt, like, they have a bunch of solid receivers, but no elite guys like Khalil Shakir and other guys you've had over the past decade plus. And so you ask him to go out there to win the game against you're not fully healthy wide receiver wise against a Fresno State secondary who has two really good guys in the backfield, in the secondary backfield, Evan Williams and my other pick, Cam Lockridge, MVP. Just saying, two interceptions.
Nailed it.
Doing good. Nailed it. Exactly. One was a lob and tip, tip drill, whatever. But
yeah, Green, assist from Livell Bailey on that one.
Who could have picked off himself, but couldn't quite get a hand on it. But overall, Green, they trust, for some reason, they trusted Green to win the game. And it makes sense because he's played well enough and made big plays. But it's a conference championship game. Your running backs are doing fine, but you elect not to get him the ball. You're missing your top receiver. You expect a freshman to come out and win a game. That's hard to do. And we've seen him in certain games against pretty good defenses not play great, like the Air Force game, all field goals. So essentially, and like shut out in the second half. So there's been times where there's no doubt he's really, really good. He's just not that there yet to be the guy to win games when you're missing guys. And he had 30 rushing yards, so it's okay. But also, let me ask you this real quick, Matt. So do you think the JL Skinner, two things I'll ask you. So the JL Skinner near interception, would that have possibly really turned the tide where he could have easily had to walk it in for a pick six?
Because let's not forget, Fresno State had one of those two later on in the game. LJ Early had his eyes on one, had his eyes on a lot of blue turf in front of him. But I think you're definitely right that those sort of missed opportunities, especially in that first half, especially with Skinner, mm-hmm. it just, you know, it changes the tenor of a game when you were able to create a big play like that. And that was something else that we had seen Boise State do a number of times in the second half of the year. I think the defense, all things considered, did just about everything you could ask them to do. Like, they held Fresno State to only 4 yards of play in this game. Yeah, the Broncos actually, like, for all of Green's struggles, the Broncos still outgained them on a per-play basis. Mm-hmm. You know, and they were roughly even on third downs as well. Fresno State was 5-15. Boise State was 5-17. But yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that, because that was something I was gonna bring up too. And yeah, I don't know what
And
else you can really say about that.
he was mad, like he was hurt. They had to literally say, "You cannot play anymore, Mr. Skinner. You need to get out of the game."
Yeah,
Like he at the end, he's like
it's
a
tough.
competitor. It's hard, but it like who played better? Like minus two turnover margin. Both interceptions go for a touchdown. Nico Remigio had the 70-yard punt return as well, which was huge. And it really comes down to like, I get honestly, Phil, what I mentioned, three things: special teams, field goals, and defense. Well, Fresno State was better in all aspects. And also, how do you feel about the roughing the kicker penalty? Because I felt that was kind of weak. That gave Fresno State a
Yeah,
first down.
I think I could see the grievance that Boise State fans were sort of clamoring for on social media. It did seem a little ticky-tack, but
He ran it like the only thing I could think of, because the announcers, he had Brock Heward and some other dude I don't know, and Petros on the sideline, who people don't like Petros, but I think he's fun and great. But my point with that, they didn't really explain why. It's like, oh, that's it seemed like, oh, that's what they call, that's what they're going with. Seemed like, honestly, I don't know how much Brock Heward has ever seen a Boise State or Fresno State game this year. Or no, sorry, he did the other game. It wasn't Brock Heward. Never mind. I'm thinking of
I was
something
going to say
else.
Tim Brando,
Sorry, Tim Brando.
wasn't it? And Spencer Tillman.
Sorry, it's my bad. I was thinking of the Pac-12 game where Brock Heward is. I get my wires crossed because Petros is on both broadcasts, I believe. My bad. But it seemed like, but also like, have they done many Boise State games? Either of those? Because I don't know if Brando's doing too many FS1 broadcasts, right? I don't recall who's on who, but they didn't seem to explain why that was the call or even question it, because the guy he rolled into the kicker. Obviously, we all saw that. Unless the referee thought it was an additional, like you're a kid log rolling to get the guy's leg. He didn't like, I don't think he raised his legs too much to trip him too intentionally, maybe a little bit, but it's also momentum. The only thing I could think of their penalty, because I think there's the rule if you're late, like if you're the kicker and you're kind of vulnerable, like a defenseless receiver to some level, I'm wondering if that's why they called it, but it seemed pretty minor to give 15 yards regardless, because it's automatic first down anyways. It's fourth and 15, so 15 yards first down, or it's a first down anyways, that's the call. I thought it would be running into the kicker. I don't know why it's roughing. It seemed, again, a little out of all the calls, that one seemed like, oof, what's going on there, fellas? Because that led to a touchdown for Boise, or excuse me, for Fresno State. And that was a pretty big deal. Because that was, I think, I think that's when they went 21-9, I believe. Isn't that when that score happened, I believe?
Yeah,
Let's see.
the touchdown throw to Zane Pope.
Yeah, roughing the kicker. That's one I'd be like, I did not. I'm like, that does not seem like that. And the intent was there. But the only thing I could think of is defensive kicker. That's the only thing reasoning. And I would love the announcers to, do this for a living and call the games, would say, hey, here's why it was the call. They didn't even bat the right to question it.
Nope.
I'm just saying that's weird. I'm like, so that's why I was wondering, like, how often these guys call the game? I don't know. So what surprised you in the game? Anything that kind of like stood out, like, hey, this is weird, or this a surprise this matchup that you kind of saw or didn't expect after the fact?
I think I was surprised by how often Fresno State got their hands on the football when Boise State tried to lean on the pass. Obviously the interceptions were sort of the big momentum swings, but I think it's worth noting too that Fresno State had seven pass breakups in this game too. You mentioned David Perales was sort of limited, but he had a big, pass knockdown in the first quarter for more or less, being stuck on the sidelines for the rest of the game. But we mentioned LJ earlier. He had two pass breakups, including the missed opportunity for a pick six himself. Bailey had the tip drill that helped Lockridge pick up that second interception. Isaiah Johnson had a tip. Carlton Johnson had a tip. It was just a really strong group effort, I think. So like even though Green himself really struggled completing passes, especially struggling with overthrows, as you mentioned earlier, when he was trying to fit into those windows, I think Fresno State did a really good job of, basically denying him those opportunities.
Yeah, I would say one interesting note. I was like, I felt Jake Kaner would break through at some point. He never really did. He had the one touchdown pass, not many huge passing plays downfield, and he was only 184 yards. I felt at some point he would break through. Running game was okay. Like Mims, that we'll get to that in a minute. But like my big surprise was Kaner not having a couple of big time plays. I felt maybe not 300 yards, but I could see like 250 and like at least one bomb for a touchdown like he's known to have or a big play. So credit to Boise defense. Also, fourth quarter, Boise's defense was gassed depth-wise, injury-wise. They even said, like, these guys are tired. You could tell on that last drive, particularly with Jordan Mims, taking all six carries for a touchdown to seal the victory, where he had, I think, I don't have my article in front of me, but 30-plus yards taking all six carries, and then the toss. And the toss for touchdown. Have you ever heard of the gentleman touchdown? What were they referring to on that toss when he scored? Like, what is that about? Are you familiar with that term? I'm like, it's just baffled my mind. I'm like, they said like five times.
All kinds of weird things. Like, they were suggesting Fresno State punt from the Boise State 34-yard line or something like that.
Well, look how old freaking Tim Brando is. He's a million years old. He's calling games for Jefferson Pilot back in the day, I think.
Yeah, I think you're right about that.
I'm just saying, he's been around. But I'm just saying, like, what are you doing? Like Boise, like, same thing, Boise, their first drive. 4th and 5, 35. That's 50, your field goal kicker. That's long. What are you doing? But no, do not punt. Go, like, if you're within 10 yards, like, if you're on a range for me to go for, unless it's like super long for some reason, like it's 4th and 20. Like, if you're inside your opponent's 40 yard line, if you're in the other 40, just go for it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Just go deep. And if it's picked off, cool. That's like a punt. It's like, what are you doing? Unless it's like 15 plus yards, I'm like, what do you, just go for it.
Well, I would agree.
Just saying, we're in like minds here. It's like, now I'm not just with percentage or analytics, but like, just look where you're in the field. Like, what's the problem? If you punt and they do a fair catch, it's only 15 yards if you're at the 40. Like, what are you thinking? No, these announcers, get out the program, man. Do what you got to do.
Yeah.
Anything else? Okay, I'll say this about the game. So, Andy Avalos' butt was saved by Dirt Cutter this year. Is that fair to say? Like, he probably saved Andy Avalos' job?
Among other things, yeah.
Wait, what are the other things?
Well, I would say Taylen Green. You know, the guys on the field.
Oh, obviously. But that's all Dirt Cutter probably, right?
I mean, I think he definitely had a large influence on that, yeah.
Then why does Dirt Cutter – I mean, why does Andy Avalos is not happy at his post-game press conference? He was getting pissy about everybody. Like, you've never done this before. You haven't done this. I'm like, coach, answer the dang question, man. What are you doing?
I did see the quote that I believe it was put out there first about by BJ Raines, was it not?
Yeah, something like that. I don't have the full context, but it seemed like it was a bit harsh.
I didn't want to automatically assume it was a negative stance because all I had to go on was the text of the quote and no tone to go along behind it. So
it could have been a piss poor question too. It could have been condescending. I don't know.
Yeah. And so there wasn't enough context for me to really glean one way or the other how accurate that reading was. But I think also too, like, given that, the Broncos just had a frustrating offensive performance, that Avalos and his personal frustration at the end of the game could be forgiven.
Yeah. It's just, I get it, I wanted to lean into that a little bit. Like, I'm not going to be too harsh, but it's like, if you've been coached for a while, a couple years, you lost. And if you're out there, what are the questions you're going to ask about this game? So, coach, what happened to your quarterback? Like, coach, why did you stop handing the ball off to your running backs? Coach, you settled for field goals. This is not the first time this happened. Coach, there's the passing situations. Like, I don't have full context, but those are questions I'd totally ask if I was there. It's like, why did you lean away from the one of the top three players in the conference to give it to a freshman who's never been in this situation before? So, I don't know. Anything else to add about this game before we move on? Any other final thoughts or predictions you got right or wrong you want to talk about?
Nothing that immediately comes to mind, no.
Okay. Did this game satisfy you for a college football championship game?
Yeah, I mean, I think it was definitely more of a defensive showcase than I expected it to be. I don't even think it hit the over, correct?
No, over is like, I think 53.
So it was like, yeah. But yeah, I mean, I think, both teams had an opportunity to sort of assert themselves throughout most of the contest. And it wasn't really until maybe the, late in the third quarter, early fourth quarter, that Fresno State was able to get enough separation that the Bulldogs fans like myself could feel like they could breathe a little bit. like once it was 21-9 and the Broncos continued to struggle, I think that was when you could really see the finish line.
Yeah, I felt once they, after that, that's on that roughing the pass or roughing the kicker, once they scored a touchdown there, I figured it's over. Like they're not coming back from this. Boise's offense, while as good as it was this year and improved over the year, was not going to come back and get this defense.
Yeah.
Again, Jalen Green threw 38 times, too many times. So
why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510, is he declaring an emergency? There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
All right, is it bowl season time? Is that where we're officially at now?
Let's do it.
So we have 7 Mountain West bowl teams. So here's where I'll mention the bowl games. We'll kind of get to things here as we go. So we have LA Bowl, Fresno, Washington State. Frisco, Boise, North Texas, Armed Forces, Air Force, Baylor, Potato Bowl, Spartans, Eastern Michigan, First Responder, Utah State, Memphis, Arizona, Wyoming, Ohio, and as known for a week, San Diego State, Middle Tennessee State, and Hawaii. Any first blush thoughts that like, oh, this is awesome, I don't like this game, or we could have done better?
You know, what was kind of surprising, if you were, you know, dear listener, like me, following Brett McMurphy on Twitter as he was sort of ripping out every matchup over the course of, you know, Sunday morning, early afternoon. One of the first biggest surprises is one of the games that's not on that list, which is the New Mexico Bowl.
Yeah, first time ever. That's not part of the Mountain West in their bowl allegiance since it became. It's BYU versus SMU.
And so that was sort of a mild surprise, if only because that, I believe, was one of the first matchups that was announced. But on the whole, like, I think you might be tempted at first glance to think, well, like, that's not a very good matchup. But
can I play conspiracy theory? Good
slate of matchups. Yeah, okay, yeah, go for it.
The New Mexico Bowl, you want to know why I think it's BYU?
Because they had to put it somewhere.
Because what? No, well, no.
They had to put it somewhere.
Well, there's that, but ESPN owns the bowls, obviously, so they can mix and match as they wish, which has worked for the Mountain West many, many times. But the Raiders host the Patriots Sunday Night Football the day after. That game's it's going to get moved off NBC. There's zero chance it's going to be played on NBC. They can flex it. So if you've probably seen the notes of what they're going to change, they're going to flip the, because as it stands, the Vegas or not Jimmy Kimmel Bowl, but the, on that day, yeah, the Vegas Bowl is the same day, right? Yes. So they're going to flip the times because the Vegas Bowl is later in the day with Pac-12 SEC. And Raiders games the next day. There's not enough. If the game gets pulled off flex, it would probably be then that afternoon, which is like, what, 1:25 Pacific kickoff or something like that?
Yeah, it's usually like 1 o'clock kickoffs.
Yeah, it'd be that 1 o'clock Pacific kick time. There's not enough time to fix the field. If the game kicks off at like, probably, I don't know what the Vegas Bowl kicks, 6-7 local time. Mm-hmm. That game is on ABC. That game would move to ESPN earlier in the day and switch time slots with the New Mexico Bowl, which would then be on ABC. And people like to watch BYU and football, a lot of fans. So that's why I think there could be a potential that's moved. That game was moved in favor of a BYU versus SMU. Then say BYU played a handful of Mountain West teams. So we weren't going to play Wyoming. We weren't going to play Utah State. We're going to play Boise State, so it limits who you're going to play. Aztecs already had a bowl game, and Fresno is already locked into it. So the only other option would have been San Jose State if they wanted BYU in that game. And they'd rather, I guess, have SMU. That's my thinking of how that came to be. But or maybe
you,
Air Force.
You probably pulled out a lot of like twine and thumbtacks to pull all that together, didn't you?
No, the easy way, BYU and ABC, that's good. That's what the bowl wants. That's simple enough.
That's true. It is about eyeballs. It is about money.
So that's where I'm thinking. That's why. But there could be a totally another reason. But I think that's a plausible reason to think why that's the case.
I mean, and I think the slate of bowl matchups as a whole, like you might think, well, this doesn't seem like it's terribly exciting. But like when you look closer, and of course, we're going to talk more in depth about all of these opponents over the next couple of weeks or so. Mm-hmm. You know, Wazoo was pretty exciting. You know, under
head points, coach, man.
Jake Dickert, you know, they could put up points.
Cam Ward, yeah.
Although I do think they lost their offensive coordinator, Eric Morris, did they not?
He's a head coach somewhere. Let me.
I'm trying to Eric remember. I'm looking it up as we go. Oh no, he was a front runner for the Texas State job.
Okay, so I he's don't still think in town. He.
Okay. Yeah, because I think they ended up hiring G.J. Kinney for that job, did they not?
Yes, they did get D.J. Kinney. Yeah, right. Yeah. Eric Morris 3 days ago, no longer.
Yeah, because I had remembered seeing that. But, you know, with him, with Cam Ward, that quarterback, you know, the Cougars will be an exciting matchup for this Bulldogs defense. You know, in Frisco between the Broncos and North Texas, you get a matchup of conference runners-up.
However, Seth Luttrell just got fired tonight, Sunday night.
That's true. Yeah. So the Mean Green are going to be going into that game with an interim coach.
Yeah, interim coach. And also, it should be noted, he was fired by the president because the AD took the West Virginia job. So I don't think they have an AD at the moment. Because Wren Baker, I believe that's how you say his name, W-R-E-N, Wren, is now at West Virginia. So he went 44-44. But he's also owned 5 in bowl games, too.
Yeah. So
and also should be noted...
Not quite the tenure they envisioned, but and also UNT is also going to the American next year too.
Correct. And this is like basically 10 miles from the stadium in Frisco. And also, well, I saw Boise fans like on Bronco Nation News or Facebook page, like, what is this? Blah, blah, blah. I'm like, and somebody put a great comment. Hey, we haven't been to a bowl game like in 3 years. Shut up. We're playing the bowl game. It's great.
There you go.
Because they could.
That's the spirit.
Last year, COVID. 2020, they said no. 2019, the Lightning strike versus BC got the game canceled.
That's right.
They haven't been to bowl game in a while for health, basically health and safety issues, apparently, whether it's a Lightning or COVID. So it's been multiple years since they've been to a bowl game. So enjoy it. Warmish weather, I want to say. Probably not super warm, but warmer than Boise. And we'll see. It'll be it's a bowl game they haven't been to in a while. And you get to see another game of Taylen Green, George Trelawney, and stuff like that. So it's the matchup.
Yeah, plus it's a homecoming for a good number of Broncos players as well.
Yeah, Texas guys. So yeah, so it's a matchup we'll see on North Texas is because lost to UTSA. But Seth Luttrell's offense was known, or allegedly known as whatever, kind of here hit or miss. But he also had a Graham Harrell for a minute too. A lot of passing offense, a lot of scoring points. Not necessarily the case with the record wise, but well, it's a game to see Boise State again, and we'll see how they do. But it's a fun game. It's fine. It's all bowl games. More football, right?
Exactly. You got to treasure each one, because then it's going to be January and you're going to be staring at like rain or snow. And you're going to be like, where's the football?
Yeah. You can watch the Chiefs play. That's always exciting, right?
That's true. Yeah. But then you have the Armed Forces. Then you have the Armed Forces Bowl. Yeah, it is a really good matchup. And Air Force, I believe, is in this game for the 6th overall time, which, if I remember my cursory Wikipedia search from this afternoon, is the most appearances of any team in this bowl, which is kind of interesting.
It might be. It's the Armed Forces Bowl. You got to have Army, Navy, or Air Force right there. So
yeah, and they draw a Baylor team that wasn't quite as good as it was last year when they were in the Big 12 Championship. But I think it is fair to note that this Bears team was subject to a lot of close game luck in both directions this year. Because you may recall that they lost by 6 back in September to BYU when both teams were ranked back in week two.
Yeah, early on, yeah.
Yeah. Lost by 3 to West Virginia, lost by 1 just a couple weeks ago to Texas A&M or Texas Christian, TCU. And this is still a team that beat the likes of Kansas and Texas Tech and Oklahoma too. So like they've got some talent, and it's going to be a really good matchup, I think, for both sides.
Yeah, they score points. They have some good players. Like Dave Aranda is a really good coach. It'll be different, contrasting styles for sure. Yeah, but also should be noted, it's going to be a close game because Fort Worth is not that far from where Baylor's at, Waco. So there could be a crowd discrepancy as well.
Yeah, and then in the Potato Bowl, not only do we get Spuddy again, as you mentioned.
Spuddy's back.
But, you know, San Jose State is going bowling again. They bounced back, had a nice year. And Eastern Michigan, like if you haven't paid attention to the MAC, the one thing you need to know is that these Eagles just had their best season in like 35 years.
They're going to be pumped to be there.
Yeah, they were. I looked this up on Sports Reference. So yeah, they went 8-4 this year. I'm just going to throw this out there real quick, and I'm sure I'll mention it at some point. The only other 2 8-win seasons that they've had in the entire history of this program: 1977, when they won 8 games, and 1987, which was the last time they won 8 games. They won 10 games, and coincidentally enough, played Fresno State in a bowl game that year.
Ah, interesting. So one quick note about this team: they've won 3 in a row. They beat Central Michigan recently. They have a lot of couple close losses, I should say. But you see their point differential; they're only +3 on the year. 346 points for, 343 against.
That's a very Mac thing to do.
It is, because you look at some of their games. They played Louisiana, who wasn't very good. Lose 49-21. They lose to Buffalo 50-31. But then they go out and beat Western Michigan 45-23. They beat up on Central 38-19. Lose to North NIU 39-10. And a couple of close games mixed in. So quite a swing of a matchup or scoring matchups in this one. For this Eagles team. This also does not include the Charlie Batch years, where they apparently did not win 8 wins with Charlie Batch.
Yeah, I think 90s. And I think a lot of that also holds true for Memphis too in the First Responder Bowl. You know, they'll be playing Utah State. The Tigers, again, 6-6 doesn't seem like all that much to write home about, but it is worth noting here that they had, you know, we just mentioned it with Baylor, they might have had even more close game misfortune, especially in the second half of the year, because they started the year 4-1, lost by 1 to Houston, 2 to East Carolina, 7 to UCF, and 3 to SMU in the second half of the year. So it's not a team that's going to be overwhelmed or scared to be on a stage with Utah State. So it's going to be a nice matchup, I think, of teams that maybe aren't perfect, but can still put up a lot of points. I think that's sort of the thing to look forward to in that one.
Yeah, they put up 45, lost to ECU, 30-plus a couple times. But also their back end schedule is tough. Houston, ECU, ranked Tulane, ranked UCF, solid Tulsa team. SMU's pretty good. So that's part of it too. The schedule is more difficult down the stretch. Similar to what they did the UNLV type of scheduling, where they were off to a hot start, partly due to the schedule, partly due because they're a pretty good team. But at the end of the day, the second half schedule is much more difficult.
Yeah.
So that's a little bit too. We'll get into these games as well more deeply, obviously, as we get going next week or two.
Yeah, and then in the Arizona Bowl, you get another conference runner-up in Ohio. You know, they just lost the MAC championship to Toledo. And I will say up front, which again, we'll talk about this more in depth later on, but I do think that the game maybe lost a little bit of its luster because Bobcats quarterback Curtis Rourke, who, if the surname sounds familiar, it's because he was in a bowl game several years ago, the Frisco Bowl, where these same Bobcats ran over San Diego State, if you recall that one.
Yes.
But he was knocked out a couple weeks ago for the rest of the year with a knee injury. You know, he was, I believe, the offensive player of the year in the MAC, and the MVP. And so you could tell, like, in going back and watching a little bit of video from the MAC championship, that they definitely missed him.
Yeah.
But we'll see. You know, Wyoming has been sort of up and down. You know, as you mentioned, with the point differential for Eastern Michigan, that yeah. also holds true for the Cowboys. So it's sort of an unpredictable matchup, and that is its own kind of fun sometimes. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, definitely. So it's, we'll see how it goes. There's some interesting games. And then last game, Hawaii Bowl, right? Is that the last one I've ever touched on real quick? This has been known for about a week. Middle Tennessee State versus San Diego State. Why do you think this was announced like a week before? It's kind of weird.
Any I wonder if it had to do with like travel plans in the same way that they do with the Bahamas Bowl.
That was known early too, correct? Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting. So what do we know about Middle Tennessee State? Because you know what San Diego State did, and some of their fans are like, whatever, a bowl game. It is funny that there's some hashtag group on Facebook. They despise Brady Hoke, Matt. They do not like Brady Hoke at all.
So are you asking me about Hoke, or are you asking me about the Blue Raiders?
Sorry, I had a tangent there. Hoke, why do you think they don't like Hoke very much?
I wonder if it's just the stale play calling.
You're not wrong. Okay, that's probably why too. But back to Middle Tennessee State, the Raiders. So what do you think about them? Because they've been they're an okay team.
Typically. So you may recall that they beat up on Colorado State back in week two.
Was it 49-10, I think?
34-19.
Oh, sorry. One of the close games Rams had early on. Close-ish games. My bad.
And then, you know, later in September ended up having one of the more shocking results of non-conference play, or at least it seemed like it at the time, when they beat a ranked Miami team on the road, put up 45 points against the Hurricanes. And then they had sort of a midseason lull. You know, they lost by a couple scores to UTSA, you know, got blown out by UAB in Western Kentucky, but then bounced back late in the year, won four of their last five, sort of regained their form. You might say that, you know, there's a little bit of skepticism that you might sort of look at them at, because none of their, I don't think any of their wins, unless Miami finished, is Miami going bowling? I have no idea. Because if they're not, then none of their seven wins this year came against a team with a winning record.
Trying to check right now. My computer forced restart on my standings page. Miami. Oh boy, this is exciting. Come on, control F. No, they went 5-7. They're not going bowling. The other Miami team did. Ohio is going bowling, but not the Hurricanes.
So maybe not the greatest team in the world, but a team that can still put up points, and it's going to make for a good matchup against an Aztecs defense that is going to look to, they're going to look to try and, you know, put one last nice tidy bow on a good season, if not necessarily like the kind of season that they've had in the last couple of years.
Exactly. So anything else we need to add about the bowl games? Because we're gone through the matchups. We'll do more. We have some first looks already out, so check out that for the website. We'll do some Q&As. We'll figure out our podcast schedule, because it's always weird and hairy around this time of year, just with travel, with holidays, with whatever, you know what I mean? Life stuff going on. Anything else about the bowl? Anything else you need to add to these games or matchups we talked about?
I think for now, we are probably all set.
Let me ask you this. Off the cuff, what's the number one? I put this to our staff. We'll have ranking the bowl games. What's the number one bowl game right now you want to watch?
Oh, man. I'm trying to remember what I voted for. I do think that Air Force Baylor is going to be a really good one.
I do, too. I won't say that one because you said it, because that's what up there. I'll go Fresno Wazoo, because I think that could be first to 30, first to 40, potentially.
Yeah. And I also think this – I would also say don't sleep on San Jose State, Eastern Michigan.
Mm-hmm. And because we also want to see two reasons. Buddy Buddy's like the best mascot out there, too. If you're the winning team, you don't get the Gatorade. You get those French fries poured on you. fingers That's crossed. Right. Do we know if they're, are they warm, hot French fries at least? Do we know? They're sitting in the Gatorade bucket. Because
I don't know. We'll have to dig into that, maybe.
Just investigative reporting on that, because getting cold French fries, that'd be like shards of cardboard hitting you. That wouldn't be comfortable. It gets on your jacket or something.
Exactly.
Or Coach Brennan or whoever. So that's it for now. So I guess we need to discuss our schedule. Going to be, I'm going to say this right now, Matt, we're going to have a podcast before we preview these games. I think that's fair to say. People need to hear from us again, not in 2 weeks, right?
Sure.
Sure. As I put you on the spot, yes, it's in stone. We're going to podcast something. We'll be around, obviously. We'll let everybody know of our schedule, so you can check us out, obviously, Spotify, iTunes, or excuse me, Apple Podcasts, or where you get your podcast at. Check the website, Twitter, MWR.com. We'll have some, I have some interesting off-season stuff we'll start doing, kind of the week in between. But we'll be back probably next week to recap. Nothing. Wait, Matt, we don't recap anything. That's sad. Oh, man. I'm misspoken there. Jeez. But keep an eye out for us for some fun college football stuff to talk about. And yeah, MWR.com. And we'll see you next time. We'll be around. We're not going anywhere. As I randomly make this seem like some end of a season show type deal. We're just, there's not much football left. So we got to figure out what we want to do, right? I need some ideas.
Still got a little ways to go, though.
MWC Wire and Twitter, give us some ideas to podcast for this week. We always take suggestions, right?
Exactly.
All right. So we'll see you then. Until next time, folks, have a good week.